This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Before North Carolinians became Caniacs or Panthers fans, back when NASCAR was the only professional sports team or professional sport, most Tar Heels who cared about in this state, the Charlotte Hornets, enjoyed a few seasons in the sun. The Hornets were the first NBA team to win hearts and minds in North Carolina's Queen City. And the 1992-93 squad won more than that. They beat the legendary Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Hornets fans can celebrate the glory of that team again this year when the video game NBA 2K12 comes along. Among the featured matchups is going to be the 92-93 Hornets against the 92-93 Chicago Bulls. And I'm joined now by a couple of fans who remember that season quite well. Dane Huffman covered the Hornets for the News and Observer in Raleigh, today's web producer for NBC 17 News. And Owen Good is a native North Carolinian who now writes about sports video games for the Gawker Media Kotaku site. Dane and Owen, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Glad to be on.
Thanks, Frank. Glad to be with you.
Dane, you covered the Hornets from the beginning. What was it like to watch this team evolve?
Well, the biggest thing was about the Hornets, and Frank, you really spoke to this, is in that era, having professional sports in North Carolina was a huge deal. Now we sort of take it for granted, the Panthers and the Bobcats and obviously the Hurricanes here in our market. But when the Hornets arrived in 1988, I mean, there were thousands of North Carolinians who were absolutely stunned to see the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers and people like that walking around in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was a big thing. It's hard to understand now how important that was to sort of the mentality of the state, but at the time it was just enormous. And watching them evolve, you know, their goal all along was to make the playoffs in 5 years, which is a long time. You know, it takes time to build up in the NBA, but that year, 1993, the 92-93 season, they had a very good young team, very talented. They played at a fast pace, and there was just a tremendous amount of anticipation about that year among Hornets fans. And even people here in the Triangle followed that team closely.
Well, you say it was a big deal to bring in those big teams from all around the NBA, but this is the mentality that you referred to was certainly college basketball. Was it a hard sell initially, was it an easy transfer to pro basketball?
It's a really good question. At the time, there are a lot of people in North Carolina who are like, look, as soon as State starts playing, Carolina starts playing, Duke's on TV, people aren't going to pay attention to the Hornets. But what was different was the Hornets, in going to Charlotte, Charlotte didn't have anything that people could rally around. So in 88, 89, you had a lot of people moving into Charlotte. The banks were doing well, a lot of young people with money to spend, and they love going to these Hornet games. And the Hornets were really good about making the games fun. So the concern that some people had that, well, you know, college sports will sort of overwhelm the NBA actually didn't happen, at least in that particular time. The Hornets had an enormous fan base. Most of their fans were in that sort of metropolitan Charlotte area, but people still followed them outside that area. And they had no trouble. They, you know, in the 92-93 season, they led the NBA in attendance.
Well, Owen, you were living
barely had open games.
Wow. You were living in North Carolina during the early days of the Hornets. Owen, what was it like for you?
Well, I grew up, I was 15 years old when the Hornets played their first season. And, you know, I'll echo what Dane said. There were a lot of people who were surprised in different tones of voice, I guess, to see the name Charlotte in the NBA standings. There were people from other parts of the country, you know, what the heck is Charlotte? And people in North Carolina were just bursting with pride because it was our largest city, and it put us on the map. And I think it is, you know, again, difficult to understand what it was like back then. I didn't grow up with a professional sports franchise the way I have a lot of friends who grew up in Philadelphia or Boston or San Francisco did. And so the Hornets became, you know, my team. If I have a team from my childhood, it's them. And there, it was that way for a lot of fans.
Well, it was probably helped by the fact that 92-93 squad was perhaps the pinnacle of the Hornets' career, that playoff game against the Celtics, which they won.
Dane,
how big was that game? Set it up for us. What was that game all about?
To put that in context, back in 1993, this was the first time they'd been in the playoffs, first time a North Carolina franchise had been in the professional sports playoffs. And I was with a bunch of reporters, and we went up to Boston for the start of the series. And, I mean, we were just, I mean, I was a young reporter at the time, but we were just flabbergasted that we were walking around the Boston Garden, going into the Celtics locker room, seeing Larry Bird on the sidelines. He had some back injuries at the time. The whole thing was really just awesome for people in North Carolina. People were watching the games. It was May. They were into it. And the Hornets in the second game up there in Boston, they won an enormous game in double overtime. And you walked out of that. I remember being in the locker room and talking to them and, you know, walking out of that. And we were all just thinking, my goodness, they may knock out the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. And in that game in Charlotte, that was a decisive game. And the Celtics, I mean, they still had Kevin McHale. They had a bunch of excellent players. And the Hornets had an inbounds pass, and they couldn't find anybody to get the ball to. So they threw it to Alonzo Mourning. And Mourning just was like the last guy who was open, caught the ball, stopped, looked up, hit the shot. And when he shot it and made it, it was like Christian Laettner beating Kentucky. It was one of those moments where he just went, that's just unbelievable. The Charlotte Hornets had beat the Boston Celtics in the way they did it. And the place was just, you know, and I'm sure you remember it, but that place just completely erupted.
Owen, do you remember the game?
I do. I was watching it on television in Fayetteville on a tiny TV set, but I do remember that play vividly, exactly as Dane described it. It was just cathartic to defeat the Celtics and to win the first playoff series in franchise history. And this is also important. You know, the Hornets measured themselves against the other expansion teams of the era, the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, and they were the first one to win a playoff series out of that bunch.
Yeah, so, and not only were they an excellent team, played pretty well, got into the playoffs and won some big games, had a lot of personality. We even had a player named Grandma Johnson, right? Larry Johnson, who right. earned the name Grandma, right?
Right. Yeah, that was part of a marketing thing that he did. It was very funny. Larry Johnson came out of UNLV, had a lot of personality, very good player, and he was 6'5". They listed him, I think, 6'7", something like that, but he was really about 6'4.5", 6'5", played power forward, basically. But he and Alonzo Mourning were these two young, up-and-coming players, and the Hornets at the time, you know, when they walked off the court after beating the Celtics, they had two of the better young players in the NBA, and they had a lot of pretty good players around them. And you really just found yourself going, wow, these guys could be really good for a long time. And that was part of the excitement.
I wonder if everybody remembers this commercial. Let's listen.
These are my new shoes from Converse. They're so light and so fast, my grandmama can whoop you in them. Grandmama! Let's go. What?
Shoot that dude.
I like it all night. Remember, you can't beat what you can't catch. Okay, Granny, one-on-one, me and you. That was a lucky shot, Grandma.
So there they go. They got a little bit of personality. They got a little bit of talent. Of course, they are no more, except they have been reprised and resurrected in NBA 2K12 game. Owen, tell us about what this means, this game between the Celtics and the Hornets in 93, the fact that it's now enshrined in a video game.
Well, it's a special mode within the game. They call it NBA's greatest, and what they wanted to do was bring 15 legends from, you know, the games, the in basketball's glory years, and put them in the game. So, you know, you've got Michael Jordan, you've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you've got Bill Russell and Oscar Robertson. What they needed to do was give these guys a team to play against. So they didn't create historic matchups per se. They just went with, okay, we picked him from a specific year, and who would be the most interesting team to play from that year? You know, that's how they got, you know, Pete Maravich on the 71 Hawks is in this game, which is an oddball choice, but everybody wanted to see him. So they matched Michael Jordan, North Carolina native, and obviously at the peak of his game in 1993, against the 1992-93 Hornets. It's not a game that has any historical antecedent. They did play in the regular season, but they did not meet in the playoffs. But the designers at 2K Sports are big basketball fans themselves. They remember the team. They remember how fun it was to watch the Hornets and how dynamic it was and all the personalities on that team, especially with a guy like Muggsy Bogues at 5'3", and figured that that would be the most interesting team to put Jordan up against. So that's how they made it into the game.
It's interesting, too, to think about going back at least 20 years and probably more for this series, right, to get players and, you know, great moments in the game, which tells you that the video game players, it's an aging population, I guess.
Well, yeah, actually, that is true. Studies and surveys show it trending. Actually, it's about my age, 37. which would, you know, conform. We were the first video game generation, but yes, and especially, you know, console simulation sports do trend older. Those who play them are generally hardcore adopters of a single title and play that game as opposed to, you know, playing a lot of other titles too. And the appeal to nostalgia here is definitely founded in market research. I can assure you of that.
And Dane, in just the few seconds we have left, the Hornets are no more. What happened?
Well, essentially what happened was the Panthers got a franchise in October of 93, and the fascination with the Hornets continued to diminish. They traded Alonzo Mourning, trouble with George Shinn, and essentially it was never the same.
Today on the program, talking about the 1992-93 Charlotte Hornets, their upcoming immortalization in NBA 2K12 video game. Dane Huffman's been with us, former sports reporter and a web producer for NBC 17. Owen Good, who writes for sports and video games, about the Katoa Gawker site at Media, Gawker Media, right? And you can read his column also at Kotaku?
Yeah.
Is that what that is? So kotaku.com/stickjockey. That's where we can read more of your stuff.
Yes, that's correct.
On the State of Things today, Dart, thank you so much for being on the program. Coming up on the State of Things, a dark tango with Lewis Shiner on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.